We hear these words from 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God.
And as we do pray about the different trials and the things that we're going through, there's something we know about our God, and that is he doesn't waste our trials. Doesn't waste them. Even the one that maybe you're going through right now, he uses them. And what's so amazing about God is he uses them to accomplish his purposes, and he does it for his glory. But in the midst of that, he offers us his grace. And yes, this grace is offered to us, but it is grace that we are called as children of God to steward, and to steward well. And so in our text today in 1 Peter, Peter writes to a church under pressure. If you look at this, the reasoning behind this letter is Peter is writing to exiles, Christians who are dispersed across the land in many different places in Asia Minor. And he says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Stewards of grace, that's our calling. And maybe you're wondering, even as you sit here, Lord, what are you asking of me? Maybe that's something you've asked yourself. What is God asking of you? Well, one of the answers that Peter makes clear here is that you've already been equipped. The gifts have been provided, the grace has been given, and when God's people come together and they embrace this, especially as a local church, what happens is we move, especially as a church, we move from more of a volunteer culture to stewards who serve, and that's when a church's serving culture can really just transform. And so today my hope is to just encourage you to rediscover this joy of stewarding grace, and to do so to the glory of God. So you're not just stewarding it, but you're doing it to the glory of God. So I'm going to ask, would you pray with me? And as I pray, I'm going to ask that you pray and ask God to speak to you through his word, and ask him to give you ears to hear and a heart to understand and a mind that is open. Lord God, we've gathered here on this day in this place to worship you. It is a step of obedience that we have taken as the people of God to gather, but we do that in faith. And the faith that we have is as we gather and as we do this and we trust and believe that you will work and you will do things. And so, Lord, speak to us. And I pray that each person here would just have ears to hear what it is that you have to say, not what I have to say. What you have to say to them, oh God. A mind that is open and a hearts that are open to receive the word of God. May the word of God fall in good soil. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So, if you would, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we see this letter, again, written to encourage the Christian exiles in the faith, and I appreciate that the text has already been read for us. So what I'm going to ask you to do now is just walk with me through this, and I want to start by just answering three basic questions, very basic, that this text addresses. And I'm doing that just not to assume that these things are understood. And so the first question is this, that this text answers: who has received a spiritual gift? And the text tells us that each of us as believers has received a gift. Again, very basic, And again, I think most in our churches know this, but even in this basic question being answered, there is really something profound for us that we should not miss. Yes, we each have received a gift, and we have a gift, but that receiving indicates something. It indicates that it's been given, which means they're truly gifts. Sometimes we say the word so much, we forget that they're truly gifts given. Second question is, what do we do with the spiritual gifts we have received? Well, the text is, again, very clear. It's not rocket science. We use them. Gifts are to be used, are to be exercised in the body. Exercised in the body of Christ. That's what happens with the gifts. So body life in the local church is a place for these gifts that the Spirit has given to be used and to be exercised. You can think of it even from a physical exercise type of thing. You're taking it and you're putting it to use. Third question, how do we use our spiritual gifts? Because it answers that as well. We use them to serve one another. So gifts received are to be used in serving one another in the body of Christ. So, some very basic questions asked and then answered in this text. Now, moving on from that, I want to build on that. Peter writes, and he tells us way more than this. Way more. In fact, I think, my personal opinion is that what he says next, what he tells us next, is really the key to understanding spiritual gifts in a biblical way, God-honoring way. And when this understanding that he shared, if it is not embraced in the church, it limits actually quite substantially the proper use of spiritual gifts in the church. And so I should also say that we need to understand what Peter is not concerned about doing here. He's not concerned about listing the gifts here. He's not doing that. He's not saying, here are the gifts, here's all the list. He's primarily concerned with how they are used, the approach. In fact, Peter's telling us that we're doing much more than just serving. We're doing much more than just serving. We're doing much more than just meeting needs. We're doing much more than just volunteering, much more than signing up, than lending a hand. So much more. So what is this first key then to unlocking this flow of people using their gifts in the body as the Lord has intended? This first key of understanding is this. We must first understand that we are stewards of our gifts. We are stewards of our gifts. So you look at verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards. Now, in my experience as a pastor, which is more than 20 years, it really does seem that believers, many do not realize this about gifts, this stewardship. Because when a person understands that they are a steward of something, it changes how they approach that which they're stewarding. Peter understood this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which is why he's teaching this stewardship principle to the exiles that are dispersed across Asia Minor. So I'll ask it this way. Do we as believers understand that we are stewards? And the way I'll answer that is this. It seems that many think they're owners of their gifts, not stewards. There's a difference. Now, if I raise that question and I say to you, if this is true, that many think they're owners and not stewards, the question I have is that a problem? And the answer is yes, it's a problem. It should be. Why is that? Well, it's because there is a substantial difference between owners and stewards. Substantial. So let's look at that so we understand it better. Let's look at a definition of an owner of gifts. Owners of gifts have full control and authority over their resources and gifts and can use them or squander them as they see fit without accountability to anyone. That would be an owner. You own it. You pretty much can do what you want, when you want, how you want, and you don't really have accountability to anyone. So if you step back from that and you say, well, I wonder if we've ever seen that approach in our churches or in our hearts. And if we do, the issue then is not really the use of our gifts, which means it's not a volunteer issue. The issue is our approach and our understanding isn't aligning with the biblical model. We need to embrace stewardship. So that's kind of a definition of, you know, an ownership approach. Let me give you some principles of stewardship that'll help you distinguish these two. Stewards manage the resources of the master. So this is one of the principles that you'll see in this understanding of stewardship when it comes to our gifts, is stewards manage the resources, in this case the gifts, of the master. There's something definitive about a steward. You know what the steward knows? They're not the owner. It's so simple that sometimes we just miss it. Like, the steward knows I'm not the owner. They know they're not the master. That changes everything. Second, stewards recognize that their primary goal is to grow and maximize their resources and gifts. But why? For the benefit of the master. So even in the use of the gifts, the goal is to grow and maximize whatever resource, whatever gift God has given to the steward, and all of that is for the benefit of the master. You see, stewards only see benefit when the master is pleased. Because stewards always have the pleasure of the master in mind, in their approach. Third, stewards recognize that they are entrusted with the responsibility to use the master's resources wisely and prudently. They understand that they are accountable to the master. So stewards have an understanding of accountability. Because accountability and stewardship, they go together. Because true biblical stewardship does not exist apart from accountability. Stewards, by definition, have a master. And the pleasure of the master is always, always preeminent. Always. And so, as you can see, there is a substantial difference here between stewards and owners. And I wonder if we as believers in the local church have understood and realized that all of us are to steward our gifts at the pleasure of the master. And the master, in his design, has then called under shepherds to lead his church, pastors, leaders. And then those the master then has tasked these under shepherds, pastors in the church to help their people understand the truths that are in the Word of God. And part of that is what we're talking about here. And through the teaching of the Word of God, then the congregation is more aware of the understanding that actually we're not owners, we're stewards. And so in the context of our topic today, Peter is telling us we are stewards, not owners. The gifts belong to God, not to us. He is the owner, we are the stewards. That's the first key. Now, we need to dig a little bit further. What kind of stewards are we to be? Does Peter tell us that? Well, the answer is yes, he does. He says, as good stewards. That's how the ESV, that's how the New American Standard translated that Greek word, good. The NIV, they translated it faithful. So, either way, we are to be good, faithful stewards of our gifts. That's clear. So again, I want you to recognize this is not me telling you this. This is the authoritative word of God making this clear. Now, you step back from this as a good Bible reader and student of the scriptures. You say, well, if I'm told to be a good steward, I then assume that there's probably another category of stewardship, right? There are good stewards, and then there must be bad stewards, just staying with the word good. So again, as a reminder to all of us, not only are you to be a steward, which we just went over, but you are to be a good and faithful one. So how would we, if there is another category, there's good and then there's bad, how would we distinguish the difference between the two? Well, as I was thinking about that and looking in this text, I thought, well, let's answer that through the text. How would the text answer that? Well, if we were to evaluate ourselves, how would we do that using the text? Keeping this, again, very simple, using the text to provide the answer, here's how I came up with it. Good stewards recognize they're not owners, then they seek to bring pleasure to the master, and they use their gifts as he desires for his benefit. So they recognize that they're not an owner, they seek to bring pleasure to the master, and they use their gifts as he desires for his benefit. Bad stewards, then, are those who think they're owners, and they use their gifts as best they see fit, and they hope the master is pleased. So if you see that definition, you can see it's actually not even that terrible. It's like it's not a terrible person, but there's a distinct difference. Step back from that, and you say, okay, in the parable of the talents, Jesus, in this parable, as he was talking with the people in his day, he addressed this issue of stewardship, and he didn't use the term that I did here. Jesus actually was more punitively direct than I'm being. He called the bad steward in Matthew 25 a wicked, slothful servant. Why did he do that? Because in that example, the steward, the servant, did not steward the resources of the master well. What did the servant do in Matthew 25? Well, he hid the resources, hoping the master would be pleased. I'm just going to bury it, and I'm going to give it back, and I just hope you're happy with that. And the master was not pleased. In fact, the master said that he was a worthless, wicked, slothful servant. And so not only do we need to know, as New Testament believers walking in the Spirit and using the gifts that the Spirit has given to us, that we're stewards. It's more than that. We need to know that we are to be good and faithful stewards. And we see some of those differences. All right, now what I want to do is move to the second key in understanding the use of spiritual gifts in a biblical way in our churches. And this one, as we look at it, it answers an important question. And the question we're going to look at this second key is, what are we stewarding? What? This is the what question. And at first glance, if you think about it, the answer seems so obvious that you're going to go, well, Pastor, you should really know that. Like, it's pretty obvious what it is, right? We're stewarding the gifts of the Spirit. But that's actually not what Peter tells us as he writes this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Look at it so that you can see it in the text. Verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it, what is it referring to? The gift, to serve one another as good stewards. And all of a sudden, there's a switch. There's a change. What are we stewarding? God's varied grace. And so the second key to unlocking gifts used in the body as God intended is that we are stewards of multifaceted divine grace. And you're like, wait a minute. What? That's what I'm doing? That's how the New American Standard translates that phrase. It translates it multifaceted. That in the Greek there, it's poikilos. And it's translated in a lot of different ways. The ESV says varied grace. The NIV says grace in its various forms. In the New King James, it says manifold grace of God. What do you think is happening here with all these translators trying to translate that Greek into the English? They're trying to capture something. What are they trying to capture? The diversity of the gifts in the church. That's what they're all doing, because that's what's in the text. Now, that word grace is a game changer. It's a game changer. Follow me on this. This is so important for us to understand, to take in. It's not just gifts of service. It's not just gifts of mercy. It's not just gifts of teaching and gifts of music and the many gifts that are represented in the church that we're stewarding. It's not just that. We're stewarding the multifaceted grace of God in the use of the gifts. Isn't that amazing to think about? And in what way is it multifaceted? Why is that such an important point that word is in there under the inspiration of the Spirit and everyone's trying to capture its meaning? It's multifaceted and varied in the distinct way that the Spirit of God has apportioned the gifts in the body, right here. I want to read now from 1 Corinthians 12. This is the Apostle Paul. And so what it shows us is that the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter are saying the same thing in two different places at two different times under the same Spirit. Amen? Same Spirit. Here's what Paul writes. Now notice what he's trying to emphasize. You know, if I had like a fifth grade class in here, a sixth grade class, I say, okay, what word do you keep seeing? Now there are varieties of gifts, same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This is so similar to 1 Peter, what we're looking at. Verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one, that's you as a believer, you're the each one, as who wills? He wills. And so in the end, we're stewarding much more than just gifts and skills. We're stewarding grace. And it's not our grace. It's God's grace. It's God's grace. What's happening here is God's grace is being manifested in multifaceted ways in which the gifts are being used in the body. So let me explain it this way. In what ways are we stewarding this varied, multifaceted grace? I'll give you two ways. Each of us, this is more individual, each of us are to allow the Spirit of God to use our gifts and our skills as instruments of divine grace to others. That's what each of us should be doing as individuals, wanting to have our gifts used. So it's more than, again, more than serving, more than mercy. We're stewarding the gifts of God and the grace of God. It's the Spirit at work, but we're the instrument. We're the instrument that God is using as we faithfully steward the gift we've received. Here's the other effect. The good and faithful stewarding of the gifts of the Spirit in the body of Christ, it then results in the maximum display of the multifaceted grace of God within his body and to the world. This is the corporate effect. So the first one was the each, right? This is the corporate. And so what's happening in a local church, in a local body, the more faithfully we steward the gifts in the body, the more people who are realizing and taking, yes, the Spirit of God has given me this and I want to use it for the pleasure of the Master, the more that happens, the more varied grace is on display in our churches to the world around us because they see that happening. In Acts chapter 11, we have an example of that. The scripture tells us that Barnabas saw the grace of God, saw it in verse 23 of Acts 11. Why? How did that happen? When he saw that the men of Cyprus and the men of Cyrene were preaching and using their gifts to preach, and the gospel was being made known, and people were believing the gospel. He's described it as seeing the grace of God, is how Luke wrote that in Acts 11. In 2 Corinthians 8, same thing happens. Paul said he saw grace. How? When the Macedonian church gave generously out of extreme poverty. What is that saying? It's saying that through the expression of varied gifts being used in the body, the grace is on display. And then from here, Peter finally mentions some specific gifts, because I told you he's not doing a list here, but he does so generally. Speaking and serving gifts is what he refers to in verse 11. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. So whether speaking gifts or serving gifts, be a good steward. That's what he's saying. Whether you have a gift that is using, you know, the mouth, or you're serving, what he's saying is be a good and faithful steward. If you speak, if the gift you have is a speaking gift, please understand something. You are speaking as an instrument of God. If you serve, you're a serving gift. You're not one that's going to be using the mouth a lot, but you just want to use your hands and serve and do that kind of thing. What Peter is saying, you do that in the strength that God supplies, not your own. Burnout happens when people serve in their own strength, or when people serve out of need that they see and not out of giftedness that the Spirit has given. I refer to this as mobilization in the local church. Mobilization in the local church is people being mobilized to use their gifts in the way that the Spirit of God has apportioned them. And they're mobilized for service to the Lord. So steward your speaking gift, steward your serving gift. You're not the owner. God is through the Spirit. And then Peter moves us to the purpose of this kind of faithful stewardship of gifts. He doesn't just tell us those things. He moves us to this purpose. What is the purpose of this kind of faithful stewardship of gifts? Verse 11. Look at verse 11. In order... That's pretty clear that we're getting to a purpose statement, right? In other words, we're doing all these things before in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So the purpose of faithful stewardship is that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. How many of us want God to be glorified through Jesus Christ in us? Amen, right? That's what we want. And Peter's letting us know that the entire Godhead is involved in this purpose. The Spirit is the one who is giving the gifts to be used as he sees fit. This kind of faithful stewardship is bringing glory to God, the Father. God is glorified. That glory is happening in and through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is gospel witness in this kind of faithful stewardship of gifts in the body of Christ. It's why sometimes people will come from the outside and they'll walk into a local church and they'll see this on display and they'll go, I've never seen anything like this before. What is happening? Well, it's the Spirit of God. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, this text, it's important we understand what this text is trying to do and what it's not trying to do. It is not trying to help us increase volunteerism. It's not what it's about. It's not trying to make sure all the ministry openings are filled. This text is about increasing glory to God through the faithful stewardship of our gifts, of God's varied grace in the body of Christ. But the gifts must be used. Verse 11, in everything God may be glorified. Through who? Jesus Christ. And what hit me when I was you know, looking at this and preparing it, Peter puts the emphasis on the master where it belongs, not the steward. It's just another text, right, of the Bible reminding us that it's not about us, that it's about Him. We are the instruments. That is all. The Lord provides the power, but they're His gifts. It's His grace being stewarded. He gets all of the glory, and all of it is happening in and through the person of Jesus Christ. Christ is exalted as His people submit themselves to the Spirit by faithfully stewarding the gifts that He's given to them to be used for the Master's glory. And then Peter ends this thought here, which is so interesting. It's not typical. This is not a typical thing you will see in the epistles. It happens, but when you're writing the way he's writing, you don't normally move to a doxology. But as what's happening here is, as Peter considers the incredible thought of people like us being used in this way for holy purposes, instruments of grace, what is Peter brought to? Worship and exaltation. Look at verse 11, second part of verse 11. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And this really should be, and I say this as a fellow servant with you, this should be the response of all saints using their gifts. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, how do you get to that, Peter? Well, who knows? Perhaps as Peter's writing this, he remembered denying Jesus. Maybe he thought about that day that he walked on the water and sank into the sea. Maybe he remembered Jesus saying, "Get behind me, Satan." And maybe with all of that, he said, "Wow, this holy, powerful God has chosen to use me. My gifts. Gifts He gave me, all for His purpose." And maybe he was overwhelmed by that thought, and his response was, "To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever." It is these kinds of thoughts, brothers and sisters in Christ, they bring us to our knees. How is it that this God of all glory and power has chosen to use me, to use you, to use us? But He has. Praise God. It's His way. But may God forgive us when we think that it is our gift to use as we please. I want to wrap this up by giving you a thought to consider. I'm a Lord of the Rings fan, and in the Lord of the Rings, apparently so are some others. But in the Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, there's this scene. And this scene, ever since I saw it, it brought me to this text. In The Return of the King, Gandalf confronts Denethor. And Denethor is known as the Steward Lord of Gondor. In other words, he's not the king. That's the key. You're not the king. You're stewarding the land. Here's what Gandalf says when he confronts Denethor. He says, "The Lord of Gondor is not a king, but a steward. Caretaker until the true king returns." And then he says, "Will you not set aside your pride and fight for your people? Because they're under attack." You know how Denethor responds? "The king will not return. Gondor is mine, and I will rule as I see fit." Do we not see ourselves sometimes in that response? With our gifts? What was the problem for Denethor? He thought he was the owner. He thought he was the king. As I close, just remember this. We are stewards. We are not owners. Stewardship reminds us of something. Our king is returning. Amen? Amen? Everything belongs to our King. It's not ours. It all belongs to Him. Everything we have. We're not just volunteers. We're instruments of God's multifaceted grace. And so in this season that you're in, even as a church, of praying for your pastor and his family and waiting on the Lord, for whatever it is that God is going to do, steward this grace well. What an encouragement that would be to him, to God, to see the church responding in that way. And based on what I've already heard as part of your announcement this morning, that's already happening. Praise God. But as you look around this room and you see the people, the gifts are here. The grace is already in your hands. You don't need to wait for someone else to step in. You are the stewards that God has appointed for such a time as this. Isn't that amazing to think about? Peter ends with the doxology. To him belong glory and dominion forever, because that's where faithful stewardship always leads. Worship. So let us leave today, not as owners that are clutching our gifts, but as stewards with open hands to the Master, to the King. Watch how God multiplies your faithfulness for the good of this church, for the sake of the gospel, and for the glory of our returning King. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, it is amazing to think that we as servants that are broken, jars of clay, that you would use us in ways to bring glory to your name. Lord, remind us, we need this reminder in the scriptures that we are not owners. Lord Jesus, let us each take refuge in the fact that you are our master and our king, and we are not. And we recognize that whatever the Spirit has given us to use, we pour it out to you for your glory and for your honor. Lord, I pray for your continued grace to be manifested to Oakwood Community Church. I pray that you would bless Pastor Darren and his family in this ministry. I pray that you would allow them to continue to see the fruit of the gospel to go forth into this community. Again, Lord, for your glory, for your honor, for your purposes to be accomplished. And Lord, for your people to feel the incredible blessing that it is to be used in this way. Be glorified now, God, we pray. In Christ's holy name, amen.